this morning, and I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. I don't know why you came to church today. If you came to be helped, I believe that's going to happen. I believe that the Spirit of God will do a work on your behalf and in your heart if you'll let Him. Jeremiah chapter number 20. I want you then to find verse number 7. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7. Stand with me, if you will, out of respect to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7, looking right this way, everyone standing. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7. It says, O Lord, Thou hast delivered me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah here is down. Things are not going well. Matter of fact, he's discouraged. Gets to the point where he said, that's it, I'm done. He says, I quit. He said, I just quit. But the Bible says, couldn't stay down because the Word of God kept on getting at him. And thank God for it. The sermon this morning is called, I Quit. I Quit. Father, bless us with Thy supernatural presence. I don't know what all the other churches and so-called churches in this country are doing this morning, but we're not playing church. Father, we mean it. We believe You're real. We believe Your book is real. We believe Thy Spirit is real. Spirit of God, reach down from glory deep into our hearts. You control this preacher. You control his voice. Control the ears and the perception of the people, and do a work. I thank God today You could save someone's life, that they might hear this sermon. I quit. Bless us with Thy presence. Minimize the interruptions. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The great Old Testament prophet Jeremiah is down, and he said, I quit. You heard what he said. He said, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, but I could not stay. And that word stay there meant, he said, I quit, but I couldn't stay quit. Thank God for that. You know, folks, nothing encourages me more than the humanity of the great role models of the Bible. I'm uplifted when I find that the strong of the Bible also had weaknesses. Now, I'm not happy that they were weak. I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one. I'm hopeful when I discover that some of the successes in the Bible also had some failures in the Bible. I'm comforted when it is revealed to me that the confident have moments of lack of confidence. When I see people who express great security feeling insecure, that relieves me. When I hear that Moses, the meekest man on the earth, lost his temper in anger, smote a rock, it helps me because I have a temper thing that flares up from time to time. I'm not glad Moses had that temper, but I'm glad God told me about it because it encourages me to know that my heroes were human too. When I hear that Job, who was deemed the best Christian on the face of the earth in his day, became proud and God had to discipline him, I'm helped due to the fact that I have an ongoing battle with my pride. When I hear that Peter's mouth created many problems for him, I'm encouraged because I constantly have to work on controlling my words, my mouth, and my conversation. When I hear that Paul and Barnabas had some relationship problems that split them up, I'm encouraged because I have an ongoing work in my life trying to make my relationships peaceful and creating unity between me and the people around me. I'm encouraged to know that Paul and Barnabas also had a struggle. When I'm reminded that Eve, a perfect creation of God, disobeyed God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm revived in regard to some of my own disobediences and the messes I get myself into. I'm also helped greatly when I see the people of the Bible who in a moment gave up, in a moment of weakness, they said, I quit, then I watch them unquit. Demas said, I quit. Why? Well, the Bible said he loved this present world too much. Judas said, I quit. Maybe it was a love of money. Lot said, I quit. Why? Lot's wife said, I quit. Why? Probably she loved the wildlife too much. Folks, I got to remind you, if you're a Christian today, there's a passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8, where these words are used. There is no discharge in that war. And what's it talking about? You and I are Christians, and we are soldiers for the cause of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I quit. You can't. There's no discharge in this war for serving Christ. Every human being alive comes, though, to the point in life, maybe privately or publicly, when they say, I quit. And for a variety of reasons. We give up for a variety of reasons. Now, we don't always advertise it. I don't come to you and say, guess what, I quit last week. And you don't always come to me and say, guess what, I quit last week. Although people do come to the preacher and talk that way. But either privately or publicly, every adult in here and probably the teenagers come to a point where they face something in life where they just say, phooey on it. Phooey is a Greek word for I've had it. Phooey on it. I quit. Stay with me today. The sermon is called, I Quit. A man in the New Testament by the name of John Mark, he said, I quit. Why? Because of his fears. And I would guess the very same reasons why the Bible characters quit, we may find ourselves described here. John Mark said, I quit because of his fears. I'll read to you from Acts 13. It says in verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. John Mark was a fine young man. He was a son of Mary, the Mary at whose house they held a prayer meeting, praying for Peter's release from prison. John Mark grew up in that house. He was a cousin to Barnabas, and he was won to Christ by Peter. John Mark went with Peter and Paul and Barnabas on their very first missionary journey. They came to a place called Pamphylia. Pamphylia was a very rough place. Pamphylia was a place that was known for muggings and robbers and people lurking in the shadows, the scripture says. Pamphylia was a bit of a lawless city, and they had fear about what might be hiding around the next corner, what's behind that tree. And John Mark, a young man, went there with Paul and Barnabas, and he became afraid, and he said, I quit. And he went back home due to his fears. He left the other men of God because of his fears. He was a homesick, scared boy, and he went home to mama. And basically, John Mark said, I quit. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Do you have fears? And as a result of your fears in life, you're either privately or publicly saying, I quit. I quit on God. Do you fear failure? So you're going to quit? Do you fear doing that which is hard in life? So you think, I'd rather quit than fail. Do you fear people? Folks, as Christians, we're to tell others about Jesus Christ. And there are some people that virtually fear sharing their faith. But John Mark said, I quit. Do you fear some responsibility of life? You know, it was more than likely his mom's training that helped him, John Mark, not to stay down. Because John Mark makes a comeback even after this bout with his fears. Colossians 4:10, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus. In other words, sometime later, you find out that Mark, John Mark, who quit because he was afraid, he's back on the firing line. He now is with Aristarchus, and he says, I'm back. And he's back serving again with Paul. In Philemon, verse number 24, it says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. In other words, he's back in the game. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You may have fears in life. We all do. And you may either in private or in public say something, I'm fearful of something. I quit. Well, it's okay. You're human just like I'm human, but don't you stay quit. You do what John Mark did. He said, I quit. But John Mark, he got back up. He didn't stay down. And way too many Christians get knocked down and stay down. You want to know who will win the ball game tonight, the Super Bowl? It'll be the team that when they get knocked down, get back up. Say, that fella right across from me, he's pretty big. I have some fears. Well, he may knock you down, but all you do is get right back up. And that is what causes success in life. You say, I quit. I'm afraid. We're all afraid at one time or another. But don't stay that way. It is fear of failure that may cause you to fail. Don't fear. God is with you. Don't let your peers intimidate you. Step up. Do what is hard. Step out of your comfort zone. You say, but I feel like quitting. We all feel like quitting sometimes. We all do. I quit, you say. Okay. Then stop quitting. Just get back on board. Jeremiah, as we read earlier, another man that said, I quit. We read about it. Jeremiah said, I quit. Why? Because I think he felt unappreciated. I think he was weary. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave for my people and go from them. For they all be adulterers and the assembly of treacherous people. You know, Jeremiah here, he said, I've wept a fountain of tears. I wish I could run and hide in some secluded cabin somewhere. I want to run from the people problems in life. People aren't listening to me. You know what? There's a man of God named Jeremiah. He said, I just about had it with this. I'll tell you all something. The ministry would not be hard if it were not for people. Right now, there are people in here upset because it's too hot. There are people in here that are upset because it's too cold. You know, it's my job to fix that. And I'm stupid because I can't get it fixed. You're too loud. You're way too soft-spoken. I'm sorry. I can't do both at the same time. Oh, and here, Jeremiah, he said, people won't listen to me. I'm unappreciated. I'm tired. You know what he said? He said, he said, I quit. He did. He said, I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. I'm done. Jeremiah quit. Listen. I'll read to you from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He said, I feel like things are not turning out the way you promised, God. I'm confused. I have wept. I'm losing my battle. And basically, if you ask me at this point, he's having a pity party. He is saying this. I can read the Hebrew language. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. He said, I'm just done. I'm not going to talk for Jesus anymore. He actually was saying, I'm not going to preach anymore. I quit. Is that you? He said, I feel unappreciated. Nobody knows what I go through. Nobody knows what price I'm paid. I'm weary. I'm tired. I quit. Folks, quitting does not solve those problems. I quit. I do good, but nobody appreciates it. Hey, mama. There are mothers in this room that people don't understand what you go through. And you're tired. And you're weary. And you say, I quit. There are husbands and men, dads in this room who would say, I'm weary. I'm tired. You get to the point where either publicly or privately, you say, I just want to quit. There are good teenagers in here that are taking a stand for Jesus Christ. And you wonder if anybody noticed it. You're trying to obey. You're trying to do right. You're to the point where you just want to quit. There are grandparents that are doing double duty. You reared your kids. Now you're rearing your kids' kids. You say, I'm weary. I'm tired. I quit. Maybe a bus captain today, or a Sunday school teacher, or a husband, or a wife, or a businessman. You say, I'm good to my clients. I work hard. But things aren't turning out the way that I thought they would turn out. I quit. Hey, I'll tell you something. Everybody wants to quit from time to time. Everybody feels unappreciated like Jeremiah did. Everybody feels weary sometimes. But I thank God Jeremiah was only down for a little while. Jeremiah quit, and then he unquit. You say, unquit's not a word. It is now. The Bible says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it says, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, but I could not stay." What that means is, he said, "I quit." He said, "But the word of God kept eating at me, and the word of God kept saying to me, 'Get up! Try again. It's not all lost. You can do it. You can make it. You can take it.'" He said, "I tried to turn that off, but the word of God kept on ringing in my ears." He said, "I could not stay." What's it mean? He said, it means I could not stay quit. And that's where he unquit. Listen, you need to make sure that if you quit, that you unquit. And you say, "I'm unappreciated." Don't quit. You say, I don't feel like people understand." Don't quit. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let the Word of God fire up your drive. Let me give you a recommendation. If right now you say, "I quit," nobody knows, but you want to quit on God, or want to quit on your family, or want to quit on life, or want to quit whatever it is that God has placed in your life, let me tell you what you do. Why don't you get your Bible out and read the stories in the Bible about the people that went through hardship and the ones that fell down but got back up. God gave them as an example to you. And if you'll do something, if you'll get your Bible out and begin to read it, God will begin to stir your heart. And that when you felt like you were tired and weary and you couldn't go on, the Word of God will set a fire in your heart and it'll help you get back on track. And let me tell you this. You say, "I don't think anybody appreciates me." God does. You say, "I don't think anybody knows what I'm going through." God does. And though sometimes we get to thinking that nobody understands and nobody cares, and that's not usually true. I call that, you have a disease. You say, "What is it?" I call it the poochie lip disease. We lie to ourselves. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows the heartaches that I've seen. Yeah, somebody knows the heartaches you've seen. They've seen them too. But if you can't be convinced that somebody else cares and somebody else knows, God does. So may I say, if you said, "I quit because of fear," like John Mark did, John Mark got back on board. If you say, "I quit because I'm unappreciated and I'm weary," like Jeremiah did, let me tell you something. Jeremiah got back on board. He unquit. Peter said, "I quit." And I'll tell you what Peter done. He had discouraged himself about his own lack of success. In John chapter 21, verse number 3, the Bible says this: "Simon Peter saith unto them, 'I go a fishing.' They say unto him, 'We also go with thee.'" Peter was a fisherman. He got saved. He started serving God. And Peter blew it more than one time. Peter got himself into trouble. Well, Peter got himself discouraged, and he created some personal failures. And the next thing you know, Peter said, "You know what? I'm done serving God. I quit. I'm going back to fishing." You say, "Why?" He was a successful fisherman. Now he's serving God. And at that moment, he was not successful. And he said, "I am discouraged with not being successful. I quit. I'll go back to something I know I can do. I can drown worms. I can catch fish." That's what he did. Peter was a very, very visual Christian, by the way. If you remember this, he was on his way. Jesus was about to go through that false trial. Peter was following him afar off, and a lady comes and says, "Hey, are you with Jesus?" And Peter said, "I am not." The Bible says he lied, he cussed. The Bible says that he denied Christ. Now, I'm going to guess when he came to his senses and began to realize, as a very visual Christian, he had blown it. He had blown it. He got discouraged. And he says, "You know something? I failed at my Christian life. I've embarrassed myself in front of people. I think I'll just stop serving God and I'll go back to fishing." And his failures got him down. Now, let me encourage all of you. Our failures can get us down. You know something? If you fail and that bothers you, I'm proud of you. Let me tell you why. If you fail and that bothers you, that means you're a person of character. Look, people that fail and they don't care, I'm not real impressed with that. We ought to care if we fail. His maybe was a character failure, maybe a leadership failure, maybe it was a spiritual failure. Some of you have your sin failures. where you do with alcohol what you should not, and drugs what you should not, and cigarettes that you should not, and sexual misbehavior, your temper, whatever it is. You say, I had a spiritual failure. That ought to bother you. And if you say, I feel like quitting because I dropped the ball, a little bit of that is healthy for you. And so we all know there's more than one person in the Bible that blew it that said, I quit. Peter did. Peter said, that's it, I quit. Where are you going, Peter? I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Let me tell you what happened, though. He didn't stay quit. Let me read to you from John 21, verse 6 and 7. He's out fishing now. That's what he said he's going to go do. He's out fishing, and he's on his boat, and he's not caught a thing. So he said, I'll go back to something I'm successful at. That didn't work out. Now he's out on a boat, and he can't catch any fish. In John 21, verse 6 and 7 says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. He was out fishing. He couldn't catch anything. Jesus was standing on the shoreline. Jesus looked out and said, hey, buddy, catching anything? Peter said, oh, brother, I was failing at my Christian life. Came out here to fish so I could do something I could succeed at. I can't even catch any fish. There's Jesus. Wanted to know if I got any. You ever had anybody ask you if you have anything on your stringer when you don't? You want to tell them, shut up, mind your own business. Jesus said, well, put your net on the other side of the boat. I know where the fish are. And Peter said, I know who this is. I know who this is. The one from whom I am running. The one who I quit on. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He went out in the boat to go do what he thought he would succeed at, and he couldn't. Now he's swimming to shore. You say what? He's going to get back where he belongs, even if he has to swim to get there. You say, it'd be a little bit of a swim upstream for me to get back where I ought to be for God because I quit. Well, swim, baby! Jump in the water. Get back to God. Don't you quit on God. And some of you have. You don't come to church like you used to come to church. You don't serve God like you used to serve God. And you have quit. This is Peter swimming back to Jesus after having said, I quit. Peter had gone back to that thing that he thought he would succeed at. Now let me tell you all something. There's some of you, you need to get back to reading your Bible and get back to praying, get back to being faithful in church and get back to the things that God would have you to do. But Peter had discouraged himself, had virtually caused himself, I think, to get depressed to a degree. And he said, my failures make me want to quit. And he quit for a while. But I thank God, Peter, he unquit. And that's a real good thing. You all do realize that after he quit, then he got back with God. And God said, you know what? I'd like to have a day that'll go down in history. I'd like to see 3,000 or 4,000 people all saved in one day. I wonder who I could use to help me to pull that off. And he looked down, and here's Peter, who had fallen, but got back up. And God said, you know what, Peter? You're sincere enough. I know you fell, but I know you got back up. You know, Peter, how would you like to preach a day? We'll see how many people we can gather down at Pentecost, and let's see if we could just have a big day and get a bunch of people saved. Do you know that day, Peter standing in the back of a pickup truck or something, Peter was there, a group gathered, and 3,000 people get saved because Peter unquit. He unquit. You say, I quit. Everybody feels like quitting sometimes, but get back up. Now, look right this way. Another story. Number four. Elijah said, I quit. And why? I think he's discouraged, and I think he's depressed. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 4, it says this. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Again, here is Elijah, and he said, I am so discouraged, I am so depressed, I just want to die. Now, this isn't some wacko in the Bible. This is Elijah in the Bible. He said, I'm so depressed, I just want to die. What had happened? He'd fought some big battles in life. Do you all realize that one of his battles, he actually prayed and had enough of the power of God on his life that he called fire from the sky. He had outran a chariot For about 20 miles, he outran a chariot. He had victory over 400 plus false prophets. He was tired. He was weary. The pressure on him was incredible. He has a combination of weariness, fear, failure, self-pity, and he gets depressed. That's where Elijah's at. So here is Elijah, the great man of God, and he said, I am just so wore out both physically and spiritually from fighting all the battles and just making it through life. I just want to die. Basically, he said, I quit. I quit. Hey, are you tired of being tired? Are you tired spiritually? Are you tired physically? Are you tired mentally? Let me encourage you. Don't quit. Don't quit. You say, I've already said it. Maybe you've said it on the inside. Maybe you said it on the outside. But I want to recommend to you that if you have said I quit on the inside, don't you let that affect the outside of you. You just keep on going. And I thank God that Elijah only quit for a moment. And everybody quits for a moment. Everybody does. You may not tell everybody that you quit for that moment. You might not tell everybody you quit for that week or that month. But everybody quits to some degree at some time. But Elijah, he quit, but he unquit. The Bible says, it says in 1 Kings 19, verse 7 and 8, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Brother David, turn this microphone on for me if you will. In other words, he was tired, he was weary. And the Bible says, he said, I'm tired, I'm weary, I fought spiritual battles, I'm hungry, I haven't slept, I have worked hard, and now I just feel I can't go on, I quit. And then God said, I believe in you, Elijah. I believe you can get back on your feet. I believe you can do something great again. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know you're discouraged. I know you're disappointed. But Elijah, I'm going to send you some food. I'm going to send you some water. And then I'm going to have you take a nap. Because honestly, if you took a little nap, you got the right food, and you got your head together, and you stop looking at all the negatives in your life and start looking at the positives in your life, we can get you back up. You don't have to stay down. You can get back up. You don't have to lose. You can win. You don't have to go through what you're going through in that mental condition. You can encourage yourself. You can win. You can do it. You can make it. You can take it. And the Bible says that Elijah got his food, he got the water, he got exactly what he needed, and the Bible says this. It says that he ate that food, took that nap, took the spiritual encouragement from God, and he went on 40 days and 40 nights off of that one meal, that one extra sleep that he received. What happened? God said, Elijah, I know you want to quit, but you need to unquit. You need to unquit. And Elijah did. Elijah ends up getting back on board. Never quit, folks. Let me tell you something. Never quit when you're depressed. Depression is a liar. Depression makes it darker than it is dark. Depression makes it deeper than it is deep. Depression makes it worse than it is worse. Depression makes it more unpleasant than what it really is. Depression is a liar. And too many people quit when they're depressed, then they wake up and realize the devil just lied them out of blessing and lied them out of some wonderful things. Don't quit when you're depressed. Depressed people sell out way too cheap. You know what happens? We get depressed and the devil psychs us out. He starts watching the negative in your mind and the negative reaction that you have in life, and that you're not counting your blessings, but you're counting the difficulties. And the devil says, that sucker's going down. She is doing nothing but thinking negative. He is doing nothing but thinking negative. You know what? I'm going to pile it on. I'll psych them out. I'll make them believe it's all over. I'll make them believe they can't take it. They can't make it. God doesn't care. God's forgotten about them. And folks, God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's never taken his eyes off of you. And if you're alive, God has something good for you. If God were done with you, he would have put you 6 foot under a long time ago. So if you're in this building today and you're still alive, and if you're in this building today, you are still alive.
God is still on the throne. You still have a chance. You still have a life. God still has a purpose for you.
Oh, but old Elijah, he was down. Folks, never make major decisions when you're depressed. Never. Never. The devil gets people down. They get in a deep depression. They say, I'm moving. I'm quitting. I'm running. Dumbest thing you'll ever do. Wait for bright days.
My dad told me this. He said, son, never give up. Never give up when it's tough. Wait till it's going well. Then give up. Pretty smart advice. You know, you don't want to quit your job when everything's going well, do you? So he said, never quit while you're down. Only quit when it's going great. Brilliant advice. Brilliant advice. Wait for brighter days. Remind yourself that success, by the way, is a series of failures anyway. When I look at some of these great people, I am encouraged. I am encouraged when I find out that John Mark, who happened to be mentioned more than one time in the Bible, they never mentioned my name one time, unless it had something to do with Balaam's donkey. But I find out that John Mark in the Bible, he had fears, and those fears almost drove him all the way away from serving God, and he quit, but he unquit. Then I found out that Jeremiah, he was going to quit because he felt unappreciated and weary, and he quit, but he unquit. And I'm glad that old Peter, when Peter said, I've embarrassed myself, I messed up my Christianity, I messed up my testimony, I'm just going to quit. I'm glad that God told me Peter quit, but that he unquit, and he got right back in there. Elijah said, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm weary, I'm tired, I quit, I just want to die. I'm glad that he didn't die that day. I'm glad that God brought him back up, and when he got his second wind, he went 40 days and 40 nights on one meal. I can't even go 40 minutes on one meal. I'm hungry right now. What a powerhouse he was. You say, but preacher, these are great people. I know. Doesn't it encourage you, like I said at the beginning of my sermon? It encourages me to know that the greatest in the Bible were like me. They were human. They were frail. They had fears. They had moments where they were down in their spirit. They had times when they quit. Some of them quit out loud and everybody knew it. Some of them quit on the inside and didn't tell anybody. That's where some of you are right now. We all think that you are flying high for Jesus, but on the inside, you're down, discouraged, depressed, and have already said you're going to quit on God. Whichever the case, whether you're up or down, public knowledge or non-public knowledge, if you have said, I quit, today's the day to unquit. Just like they did. I'm almost finished. But you know how preachers lie about that. Let me make a couple quick applications. Let me tell you this. My observations from these great men and these great stories who said, I quit, is this. I think, first of all, we're all human and feel like quitting sometimes. We either say it to ourselves, we might even say it to somebody else. But if you say, preacher, I feel terrible, I've actually had a conversation with someone about quitting on God. Or if you say, preacher, I feel terrible, I've actually had a conversation with myself about quitting on God. Hey, so is everybody else. And if you say, I've never had that conversation, I'd like to meet you. Matter of fact, I need to turn the church over to you. Matter of fact, we need to turn the universe over to you. Everybody has a moment where they want to quit. Secondly, if you ever feel like quitting, do you know there's a way out? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That'd be quitting. But God is faithful. There's the key. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He's not going to put so much on you that you have to quit. But will with the temptation make a way to escape. Love that word, escape, that you may be able to bear it. That said, God will never place so much on you that you have to quit. You don't have to quit. See, I know, but I said I was going to, but you don't have to do what you said. You know, I remember saying to one of my children once, if you do that again, I'll lock you in your room for the rest of your life. I didn't lock them in their room for the rest of their life, just so you know. Well, later on I learned what I really ought to do is lock them out of the room for the rest of their life. That'd be a better idea. Hey, if you said, well, I'm going to quit, you don't have to keep your word to yourself. It's the dumbest thing you ever said to yourself. But there is a way out if you feel like quitting. We all face it. You say, preacher, I am overloaded, and there is no way I can do it. You are lying to yourself. Because for you to be overloaded to the point that you can't go on for God means that God put more on you than you can handle, which makes God bad. And God ain't bad. You say, ain't's not good English. Yes, my friend, but it's good preaching. And God ain't bad. God's good. God's never put more on you than what you can handle. What it is, you don't want to handle it, or you've listened to the wrong people. Like the devil. He'll say to you, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Tell him to go back to hell where he belongs. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and he is going to give you the strength to do it. You see, we're all human. We feel like quitting. There is a way to escape, and you can bear the load. Hey, if someone you know has said, I quit, let me tell you what you do. Never give up on them. Only by God's grace and only with God's help, I have never given up on any Christian. Ever. Ever. You say, no wonder how bad. My most vicious of vicious enemies, I've never given up on them. Matter of fact, I had a vicious enemy that just called me this week. One that wouldn't have spit on me had I been on fire. Called and said, I love you. I thought, oh my, what a change. Don't give up on people. If someone said to you, I quit, don't give up on them. And by the way, never agree with them. Let me tell you all something you need to know. If you want to quit, and hey, and I'll help you. If you want help and you're going through a tough time, I'll help you. I'll love you. You can ask the people that counsel with me. I'll be tender and compassionate and kind. But the one thing you'll find out, I will not agree with you quitting. You'll find out that while I'm tender and compassionate, if you come and see me, I'll say, get up. Get up. You can do this. You can make it. You can take it. I disagree with you quitting. Don't quit on God. And if you have any sense, some of you, if you had any sense, you would say to your friend, I love you, but I disagree with you quitting. Instead of being mealy-mouthed, and agreeing with people that quit on God and quit on their family and quit on church. You shouldn't be agreeing with that. Where did you learn that? You didn't learn that from the Bible. We ought to help people believe that they can make it and that they can take it. And let me tell you this. Not only do I believe we all face a desire to quit, not only do I believe that there is an escape from the quitting, and not only do I believe that if somebody says they're going to quit, I won't give up on them, but I won't agree with them, I would say to every one of you, don't quit on yourself. I can't help people that won't help themselves. And this day and age where we have such a welfare mentality, it's almost like if somebody's not going to do it for me, it can't be done. Phooey on that. There are people that will help you, but the final decision of your success is a connection between you and the God of the universe. And if nobody on the face of this earth helped you, and listen to this, if nobody on the face of this earth helped you, you can do it with God. Hey, if you've quit today, you ought to unquit. I love what I read in the scripture. Jeremiah said, that's it. I've had it. I quit. I quit. I'm not going to talk about Jesus anymore. I am done. And he walked away. I think brushed his hands of the whole mess. He might have gone home and got him a big old sweet tea and said, you know something? I quit. I've had it. And the scripture started coming to his mind. He looked over and his Bible was sitting there on the coffee table. He said, you know what? It started working on me. I began to realize for me to quit would be unscriptural. For me to quit would be to go against the Word of God and to go against the God of the Word. He said, okay, I can't stay down. He got up and he started again. If you're here today and you have said out loud or privately, I quit.
I want to encourage you to unquit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: are you a born-again Christian? Are you saved? If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, let me encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know. I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and we will pray for you? Anyone like that? Okay. Who here would say, Preacher, I'm Christian saved, but this quitting thing, boy, did that make sense to me. I think today God spoke in my heart about this quitting issue. I know God has spoken to me in the service today. Would you raise your hand and say, God's spoken to me today? Sure. Lots of hands. Hands all over the building. You may put those hands down. This is what's about to happen. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet. If you're unsaved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian and you say, you know what, I need a moment with the Lord. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, I just about quit on God. Or maybe you did on the inside or maybe on the outside, but you say, you know what, I'm going to unquit today. And I don't need to know what it is. You know what it is. Some of you quit reading your Bible and quit praying and quit tithing. You quit coming to church. You quit being faithful. You quit doing the things that you ought to do for God. Maybe it's time to unquit. Maybe you need a moment at this altar. Those of you who are joining the church today, you may remain in your seat. I couldn't bring you all up here and seat you and take three rows of this auditorium to do that anyway. I'll call your name from where you stand. First, we'll have this invitation. The pianist will begin to play. Stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you need to be saved, you come. If you're a Christian, you say, you know, I need a little help. I've maybe contemplated this quitting thing. There are some of you, you quit on God. You quit doing what you ought to do for God. You've quit caring. Some of you used to be old-time religion, but you quit that. You quit being committed to God. You're mad. You're hurt. You're angry. You're bitter. Don't you quit on your husband. Don't you quit on your wife. Don't you quit on your kids. Don't you quit on your God. If you are a candidate for baptism and you want to slip out and get yourself prepared, you may do so right now at this moment. Again, ladies, you just go to the ladies' washroom that's just beyond this wall. This is the last time through the song and we'll be done. Folks, you can have a seat there if you will.